forgot to punch the pause, I'm sorry. Those that see the inner man can discern what fruit is produced and what fruit is not produced. Ephesians 5, verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in, this isn't necessarily what it is, but it's in all goodness. What is goodness? That's God. God is the one good. And all the parts of God's love are part of that one good. So we need to see all the different parts of God's love. Do we know them all? Are we sure? We need to be checking His Word to find out more and more. Need to ask Him to show us more and more of His love. And we need to understand that the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we're to produce, meekness, kindness, purity, holiness, faithful, and so on. It's in all goodness. So everything is bound up in what God is. Not just what God does, but what God is. And He wants us to be as He is. Not just to do what He does, but to actually be what He is. Now it's true, we've got sin, we need to overcome that. That's true. But if we don't build, what have we got? We don't have anything if we don't build. We've got to build the heart of Christ, and that is the work that He's giving us here in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And the next verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So we can exhort to what? Well, we can exhort to each other in many different ways, of the world and of God. And, of course, He's talking about exhorting one another in the inner man. So we need to be paying more and more attention of what's in the inner man, not just what is in the outer man. We find that, as we mentioned, by what a man says and what he does. So we need to watch each other carefully, not in the sense of criticism, but in the sense of a desire to help one another, to build in each other's hearts. So in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, God's work concerns man's eternal nature. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So what was happening to Paul here? His inward man was renewed day by day. So that wasn't just when they came together in the assembly. This was all the time. And so God was working with Paul, not just in the assembly, which that gives us a chance to work, but He works otherwise throughout our entire lives. And when He says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord, who's doing the casting in the lap? The Lord does that. And Paul was being worked in by God every single day. And then he talks about how God was working in him in verse 17. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us. So this affliction that we get is God building in us. So when everything's going right, is He building in us? Well, we don't want to try to find out and don't want to ask Him to make things go wrong. But when He does rebuke us or direct us to change, it's because we haven't been doing what is right or we are not yet what is right. So He tells us then that we need to be willing to suffer in order to obey His commandments. And He says that light affliction is but for a moment, works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's your glory of Christ in Colossians 1. That's Christ in us. And the more we build in each other, there's more and more glory. So God gives us a beautiful work to do if we'll do it. And we need to consider each other to do that work. So why did God call us in the church? The church is the called out. And what does God call us out in the church to do? And the answer has to be because He brings us together. And what are we going to do with each other? He brings us together so we can build in each other's hearts. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 15, He tells us we don't need to be led apart by all these different false teachers that are around who try to get us off of the goal in verse 13 to be like Christ. And so how do we become like Christ in verse 15? He tells us that we're to build in each other, and it edifies itself together in love, He says. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, here's the church and why we're part of this body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. So how do we work together? He's doing it. He puts everyone in the body as it pleases him. Compacted by that which every joint supplies. So every part has something they need to supply according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Does that leave me out? According to the effectual working, effectual is successful working, in the measure of every part. So he wants each one of us to work in each other. And how? He says, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we are to edify each other in love. And so that love is the love of God that needs to be in each one of our hearts and needs to grow stronger and stronger. And we need to understand that no matter how long we live, like Job lived to, somewhere around 300 years, whatever it was, he was still perfect when he was about 140 years or less, and he was still growing after that. So we can become stronger and stronger in patience and in each one of these different parts. So God worked in Job for many, many years, and that's a beautiful thing for God to do and show us a good example here. So the edifying of the body, edifying itself in love, in the effectual measure of every part. So none of us are left out. He expects all of us to build in each other. Can we do it? Well, if we learn how, why can't we do it? It takes patience, and we need to be patient in these things. So Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 38 to 42, a quick example here of Mary who desired to be strengthened in the inner man, and Jesus promised it would not be taken from her. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So she had a responsibility. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Martha was there hearing the word. But Martha then was cumbered about with much serving. So she must have gone to serve. Why? Well, if it's your home, who's responsible for the food in it? If we invite guests and there's no food, what happens? Well, we're all embarrassed and hungry maybe. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He didn't criticize her, he just made a fact here. She is troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. So it's absolutely essential that we eat physical food to live. Was Martha doing some good works? She was bearing fruit that day. She was serving the guests and feeding them, which is a good work. But there are good works and there are better works. And the better works, according to what he's telling us here, is listening to the word of God. So Martha could have sat at Jesus' feet and listened to the complete lesson. And then after the lesson was given, then she could turn and go and get the food. Someone says, well, look how long it would take. Well, look how long it takes ours after service here. There's no reason why we can't wait for good food. We need to get the needful thing first. So we can build in each other, but we've got to hear the word of God. And of course, Christ is the master teacher. He was absolutely the very best, and Martha should have been there listening to him. So in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 14, the world would like to understand its own inner nature. But the natural man, he says in verse 14, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the world is looking to find out about its inner man, but it can't find it. God tells us we got a mind, a heart, and a soul. He tells us he gives us the new mind in repentance, and then he commands us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we can renew our minds, and we can also, can we renew others' minds? We can renew the mind by being more and more determined to grow in the Lord, and we can encourage others and exhort others to grow more and more in the Lord. We've got to have courage and humility to talk to each other. Now, in 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, the Lord commands us to be humble in verse 5. He says, 1 Peter. He tells us, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Well, that's nice. I like everybody working for me, and I don't have to do it, right? Well, that's not the key here. He says in the next part, yea, all of you be subject one to another. So I've got work to do just like you do. And I guess there are some older than I am here, so we've got to serve them first, right? No, we all are needing to serve each other. How do we serve each other? He says, in humility. Well, when we build in each other, it takes humility to grow. Because if somebody corrects me, what does it take for me to accept correction? And of course, we're all right in our own eyes. In Proverbs 16 and verse 2, every man is clean in his own eyes. So why do we need each other? Well, because like Paul, I don't know anything against myself, and yet I'm not justified. Why not? Because Paul was still growing. And I'm still growing. You're still growing. And we need others to help us to see what we are. An old proverb was, to see ourselves as others see us. But we don't want to do that. We want to see ourselves as God sees us. And we can use Scripture to point out what's in each of our hearts. And we can seek to understand that. So it takes a great deal of humility for me to allow you to build in me. And same for you. It takes humility. So we need to be clothed with humility. So why does God bring us together in the church? Because the church is to edify itself, build in itself, and to the effectual measure of the working of every part. So we need to learn how to build in these hearts, in different hearts. We need to know what Scripture will do the building. We need to know what's in each other's hearts. And it's going to take some study, some discerning, and like he says, consider each other. We have authority to do that. We can consider each other, not to find fault, but to look for opportunities to build in each other's hearts. That's bearing fruit in all these spiritual things in the heart, which is eternal. So every time we build in somebody's heart, it's an eternal thing. Every time we give a scripture and someone understands what that scripture is, then that's bearing eternal fruit. Remember in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 6 and 7, where the Lord said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Well, it's true. Paul gave the word of God, but who gave the understanding to give the increase? God did. But nevertheless, Paul was the one that got credit for planting. Then Apollos came and presented scripture in order for us to grow, or for the brethren there to grow. And then God gave the increase by giving understanding to that word. So we do have a part in this, and that is to present the word of God and see what will build in the hearts, our hearts and each other's hearts. So how many of us are going to do our homework? We have a great work. That's eternal work and is eternally rewarding. And that's the beautiful part at the end of it. Not only do we do good to the brethren, but it's also an eternal work for the brethren, and it's eternal work for us and an eternal reward. God's got a beautiful plan. We need to fit fully into it. If anyone is not a member of the Lord's body now, we would encourage you to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And he says that when we're baptized, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're baptized into the one body, the church, the Lord's family, into the vine. And that's how we get in the vine so we can produce fruit for the Lord. If you're not in the vine, we'd encourage you to obey the commands in order to be part of that vine. If you need the prayers of the church tonight, we would encourage you to come now while we stand.